What if it rained food? What if Earth was a cube? What if we had nine lives? What if bits could fly? It's absurd. If money grew on trees, if we didn't have these, if we walked through lives slightly magnetical, it's absurd. Absurd hypotheticals.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Absurd Hypotheticals, the show where we overthink dumb questions so you don't have to. I'm your host, Marcus Lehner, and I'm joined here today by Chris Yee and Ben Storms. Say hi, guys.
Hey, I'm Chris.
Hey, I'm Ben.
Before we do anything else, I'm going to apologize for what might be a bad and different audio quality.
Yeah, you may have noticed already.
Yeah, so I'm traveling all this week for work, and my cable I brought for my microphone apparently has died and has overloaded all my USB drives and broken them one by one. So I am forced to record on the laptop. The laptop microphone, which is just absolutely terrible. So maybe you don't hear this if it's bad, if it's too bad, but we're gonna try it and see how it goes. That said, I do have one more thing I want to get into before we started, and this is just something that I saw on the internet. Did you guys know that Wendy's has made a Dungeons and Dragons style game? They have made a full RPG.
What?
Wendy's has made an RPG called Feast of Legends.
Feast? I feel like I've heard of Feast of Legends.
Well, it sounds like League of Legends.
Well,
if
yeah.
You're thinking of that.
Yeah, I know that.
So it reads, the nation of Frostovia has been the lone beacon of hope in the land of Beef's Keep for decades. However, the Ice Jester and his rogue gallery of frozen friends threatens Queen Wendy's reign of prosperity. But basically, first off, you, like, pick your character, and then you have to, like, join different orders, like, which are, like, the different classes. But they're literally, like, Order of the Spicy Chicken Sandwich that deals fire damage, or the Order of the Baconator. Just, like, absolute nonsense, like, product placement. And I would recommend looking it up, because there's just so much comedy gold in this whole thing, because it's, like, very tongue-in-cheek.
This does feel like something Wendy's would do.
Yeah, just to check, is this a, like, pen-and-paper RPG, or, like, a...
A pen-and-paper RPG.
Pen-and-paper, okay. Because did you hear about the KFC dating game?
It is mentioned in this article, but I have not heard of it separately from there.
Yeah, I saw a news article about it. I didn't see it, though.
Yeah, so it's called I Love You, Colonel Sanders, A Finger-Lickin' Good Dating Game. It's actually on Steam. There is a sexy anime colonel, because of course there is.
I mean, KFC has always had, like, weird marketing stuff.
Yeah.
Just the idea of the colonel kind of is weird.
This is true.
Yeah, he's a little creepy.
I think the plot of this one is, like, you're at a cooking school, and I'm pretty sure the cooking school is run by a corgi named Professor Dog.
My favorite character in this one is the boss. He's the creepy king with the paper crown.
That's very good.
Apparently the RPG itself is actually, like, good and playable.
Are you gonna play it?
I might try it. Apparently the if you critical, like, succeed, if you roll 20 on your 20 side die, you go into feast mode, and if you get a critical one, it's a big oops, which is what I'm gonna rename critical failures in all my campaigns going forward. It's just, oh, you did a big oops. Here's what's gonna happen. But I think we should dive into our question for the week, because it is the week of Halloween, the spookiest week of all.
Spooky.
And in that vein, our Halloween theme question is, how would you survive the zombie apocalypse on a budget? Ben, what was your budget?
Yeah, so my budget was $10,000, which is a nice, you know, that's a nice size budget.
I feel like that's, like, what you have, like, what, I don't want to say the average person.
Right.
Because I don't really know, but
right.
It's not. But
it's a reasonable,
like, a
number.
Reasonable amount for someone to have, like, just lying around if the zombie apocalypse happened.
Yeah, I guess sort of to give some parameters of our apocalypse, we kind of said it was just like the sort of, you know, George Romero Dawn of the Dead style zombies. So, you know, slow moving zombies, not fast ones like in, like, 28 Days Later or any of those.
Right.
If you're gonna kill them, gotta, you know, destroy the brain. Pretty much that one. You know, you get the idea. They're zombies. It's easy enough. And we said for our, like, we sort of deliberated for a while on where to, like, start our answers at. And we decided to sort of start, basically, you're a person who lives in the city, like, in an apartment building, and, like, a studio apartment. You have, you know, like, clothes, obviously, and, like, a phone and a laptop.
No car.
But, yeah, no car, no, like, bike or anything. You, like, take public transit everywhere.
So, basically, me.
Yeah, pretty much Chris.
Yeah, it's just Chris.
Yeah.
Me and Ben have too much baggage.
Basically just, you know, whatever. Ha, literal. basically just anything we wanted to use, like, specifically for survival, including, like, transportation, we would have to take out of our budget.
So it's basically, like, you're basically just building a kit for the zombie apocalypse ahead of time.
Yes, that's the other thing. You don't know, like, specifically when it's going to happen.
Right. So you can't, like, leave the city ahead of time.
Yeah. The idea is that you have, you know, you've taken this $10,000 and basically prepared in whatever way you, or I guess $10,000 for me, whatever your budget is, and prepared for a theoretical zombie apocalypse that is now happening.
And each of us chose a different budget.
Exactly. Because that's more fun.
Yeah.
So, like I said, my budget was $10,000. So, for the first thing is that you got to get out of the city. You do not want to be in the city during a zombie apocalypse. That's a really bad idea. So, like, you know, we're all based in Boston. Boston has, like, a little under 700,000 people in it. And just, like, Boston itself. And then, like, 4.7 million in, like, the greater Boston area. And a lot of those people are going to be zombies. And they're all very close together in the city. So you don't want to be in Boston. That's like goal one is get out of Boston and be able to survive outside of the city. And then on top of that, just in general, like in general, but specifically in the city, you don't want to have to fight zombies if you can avoid it. Like it's not going to go well for you. So I think the name of the game here is stay quiet, move fast, get out, and then sort of like live not off the land, but off of like raiding Walmarts and shit out in the burbs.
What was really funny was what we were saying, like those like little two word advice things. I was like imagining it in like The Last of Us, just like, you know, the grizzly old guy, just like the not grizzly old guy, but you know, your typical zombie apocalypse gritty hero being like, stay low, keep quiet, then fuck up a Walmart.
I'm pretty sure all these were taglines for Zombieland. But so first step on the like moving fast and staying somewhat quiet, getting out of the city and then just on your like Walmart raids. I think that your best like short range movement option is going to be an electric scooter. I just feel like
is it?
You'll get there. I'm gonna bring you around to. I know what you're thinking, but that's dumb as hell. But they're quiet. They're surprisingly fast. So the one that I found is the. Oh man, Kiema? Let's go with that. It's Q-I-E-W-A. It's one of those, you know, like Chinese companies. Q1 Hummer. It has a 65-mile range. It can go 37 miles per hour. And it can go off-road. It has like a suspension system. I wanted one that was all-terrain.
All-terrain scooter.
All-terrain scooter. You're going to be living in the wilds. You need some options. It cost about $1,400. This is a decent chunk of my budget. But also, there's so much hilarious bullshit on the website of this scooter. A couple of my favorite things, there's this thing that just says, it's like, are you late? Don't forget, time is money.
What?
And then it just says, like, there's like, it says like traffic congestion, crowded, people crowded. And I don't know what they're going for here. It's very good. It's very, like, height of, you know, bad advertising. Also, these two great images where one is, like, a group of people in front of, like, a tent where they just superimpose a very large scooter next to them, which is just wonderful. It's, like, the same size as the people. They didn't even bother, like, scaling it down.
It's like a pool advertisement where they're like, wow, look how many people you could fit on this scooter.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. It's, like, easily as tall as the tent. It's very good.
Yeah, it can drive 5 full-grown adults. Well, just look.
Even a tent can ride it.
Point is, I know what you're saying. Electric scooter seems like a problem because you have to charge it. I'm sure that's your main hang-up here. Because that's fair. And that was my first thought, too. That's probably going to get a generator. I mean,
that wasn't my main hang-up. My main hang-up was that electric scooters are nerdy and dumb. But
okay.
Go on.
All right. Okay, so we'll back up and solve that one first before I get to the generator. So, yes, electric scooters are not necessarily the peak of cool escape technology. But you live in a studio apartment. I kind of want to be able to have the scooter, like, or not scooter, but the transportation, like, close at hand when shit goes bad. So I figured this, you can just, like, leave in your apartment, ready there. It only weighs 55 pounds. You can, you know, get it downstairs and then get going. That's my main thought there. And also, you're not going to look cool, but you'll hopefully be alive. So just focus on that part, not the, like, fact you're going to be scootering through the streets of Boston surrounded by zombies.
The zombies aren't going to judge you.
Maybe they will judge you, actually. Is that can I spin that as a good thing? Will they, like, take pity on you?
They might, yeah. Like, I don't want to kill that guy.
Anyway, regardless, now the charging problem, because, yes, that is kind of a problem. It's easy, you just get a generator. Which, my first thought was that, like, portable generators have to be loud, right? Like, that was my initial thought. But it turns out there's actually a lot of really quiet portable generators. So the one I found, it's like $400. It runs on just gasoline, and it's only like 51 decibels, which I know we've talked about decibels a few times recently, but that's like, I think regular conversation is like 60 decibels. 51 is the same as like a window AC unit.
Every time we talk about decibels, I always forget the scale. I always have to be reminded.
It's logarithmic, so something that is 10 decibels less is half as loud.
So yeah, so theoretically, you could actually, like, use this, you know, and not kick up enough noise that zombies start coming from everywhere around you. So you could charge your scooter. So that's, you know, that problem solved at least.
How big are these generators, though?
This one's only about 40 pounds.
So you're going to carry this 40-pound generator on your scooter?
Oh, no. No, see, the generator won't live. The scooter's not the full end goal. The scooter is just to get you to your main transportation.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So your main transportation, I want to get an electric car. Actually, not a full electric car, but a hybrid car. Yes, the main impetus for this thought was that joke on The Office where they talk about how the Prius is silent below 5 miles per hour. That is why I thought of this. And it is actually, it was at least at the time of when that episode came out, that was true. That below, like, I think it is 5 miles per hour, they were pretty much silent. It may not be true anymore. So as of 2010... basically, Japanese safety standards required that it makes noise when it's on the electrical engine. So, basically, back then they announced they were making a device that was like $150 that would add sound to the Prius, which is kind of hilarious.
Can you choose the sound?
No. I heard it described as like, what was it? I don't remember what they described it as. I feel like it was just like a worry. I don't know. It sounded like some sort of machinery, but it was just like,
it's putting the card on your wheels on your bike.
Exactly, but for a hybrid.
Yeah.
So it might be stock on new Priuses. I'm not sure exactly. I got like weirdly little information because like the only things I can find about it were from 9 years ago. But as far as I can tell, it sounds like it is now stock, but you can disable it or something. I don't know. But regardless, we're not actually going to go with a Prius specifically. Because, as I said, we want to go off-road. And Prius is not necessarily the most off-road friendly car. So we're actually going to go with a 2006 Ford Escape Hybrid. Which I found on autolist.com for about $3,000.
Alrighty.
It looks like that's a really good price. So actually, just to avoid like that being way too good of a price, bumped it to like $4,500. Which seemed in line with a lot of the other ones I saw. That one was kind of an outlier. So yeah, it runs on electric motor under 25 miles per hour, gets like 36 miles to the gallon when the real motor is going. It's, you know, an SUV, so that's cool. So, you know, got your generator in there, just got to get out to that. I figure you just park it in the woods. I don't know. You park it somewhere out of the city and get to it. It's fine.
What about like on the street, like outside your apartment?
I mean, you could do that too, I guess.
You have to pay for that spot, though.
You got to pay for that? I'm trying to figure out some ways.
Does that go toward your budget? I don't know.
Yeah, I did have some budget. So when we get to the end, I had some budget, like, leeway a little bit. So you can probably rent, like, a space somewhere for, like, $10 a month out in the boonies. And the scooter will get you, like, 60 miles. So
you can don't know there. When the apocalypse is going to happen. If it runs out, then you can't use a car anymore, I guess.
Well, yeah, then you're just fucked. But, I mean, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Anyway, weapons. So for weapons, I went somewhat basic for the start. Just a machete. It's a machete. They're nice. They're simple, straightforward. And you're going to be out in the woods, like, somewhat, you know, when you're, you know, out in the boonies. So having a machete could be helpful just for actual machete purposes, too.
Here's a question. Is a machete at all useful?
In general?
To kill zombies.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, if I swing a big machete at somebody, I'm not sure I'm going to get through. Like, I don't think I'm going to cut through.
Yeah, they are.
Like, would you get through a skull?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it probably will.
Yeah. I got a very nice one. It was like $50. The main weapon, though, I want a crossbow, because once again, I'm trying to stay quiet. But I want something that could deal with zombies at a distance. But big problem with crossbows, obviously, is that you got the one shot and a long reload that's, you know, somewhat stressful on your arms and whatnot.
Daryl does it on Walking Dead.
I've actually never watched Walking Dead, so I don't know.
He's a cool one. He has a crossbow.
Crossbows are cool. It's irrefutable right there.
I've watched, like,
episode
one.
Cancel out the uncoolness of the scooter.
I'm pretty sure I actually watched episode one of, that is also true, episode one of Walking Dead like 3 times and never went any further.
I watched episode one and like season 6, episode like 8, and I'm like, that could have just been episode 2. Like, there's nothing has changed.
I watched like the first 4 seasons and then I stopped.
Yeah, that's kind of what a lot of people did, apparently. Anyway, I found this really cool crossbow, the Parker Concord, that has a quick draw system that uses a CO2 internal cocking mechanism that'll cock it in 2 seconds.
Huh.
So it costs like $1,000, but I figure, you know, that could save your life in a zombie situation.
It sounds like you're gonna have money to spare anyway, so might as well splurge.
Exactly, that's kind of the other thing too. I was kind of trying to figure out where to spend it. So I got a fancy ass crossbow. So yeah, cocks in 2 seconds, and it just uses like the standard refillable 9-ounce CO2 bottles. So
machete and crossbow.
Machete and crossbow.
Pretty generic answers here.
I mean, I'm saying, I have the scooter, okay? That's kind
of
my
scooter.
My shtick. Otherwise, I mean, yeah, from there, honestly, at that point, like, most of the rest of the stuff that I have is just kind of general, like, wilderness survival-y stuff.
Break it down for us.
So I got a camp stove that uses either just, like, liquid fuel or unleaded gasoline, so that's cool. Good old Coleman camp stove. It's like $125. Also, just a little, like, backup wood stove. It's like $18, easy enough. I have 8 4-pound tubs of dehydrated food.
It sounds so gross when you put it
that
way.
It does not. I mean, it sounds so gross when you put it anyway, dude.
If you measure anything in a tub.
Yeah.
And then I have 8 4-pound tubs of water.
They're not great. No, actually, I have 10 100 packs of water purification tablets and a bucket. I think you're carrying around a bunch of water is inefficient, Marcus. Let's just purify it. We're in the woods anyway. We're going camping. This is our plan. And then, yeah, just like camping backpacks, like $350. Tents, like $450. Sleeping bags, like $370. I basically just Googled, like, lists of good backpacking gear, pretty much. All total, so all of that adds up to, assuming the $4,500 for the car, that is all, like, $9,300, which gives you some extra money for like extra CO2 for the crossbow, and like you can buy like some extra parts for the scooter. I don't know.
You can buy a Game Boy if you get bored.
Yeah, Game Boy, one of those calculators with a solar panel on it, so you can like do math. I don't know, man.
Do math. I mean, some of those calculators have games on them. They're pretty.
They could. Yeah, it could be good. I had Doom on my calculator in high school. It was awesome. So I'm so bad at
that one where you move the blocks to like climb over things.
Oh yeah, that was good too. So yeah, so honestly, my plan is really just go out in the boonies and drive around on my hybrid and then raid Walmarts and stuff.
Exclusively Walmart, no other store.
Yep, that's where the good shit is. And yeah, just avoid zombies as much as possible. When I can't, I mean, run on a scooter.
That's a good plan.
Yep, or shoot with a crossbow.
I like how you're the only one not running anywhere, even though you're the one who actually runs, you know, races.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so let me put it this way. I've run long distances. It fucking sucks.
I know how much it sucks.
I don't want to do that in the apocalypse.
I don't want to do that in a survival situation. It's bad enough when I'm not running for my life. So, anyway, that's what I got. Chris, what did you do?
What was your budget, Chris?
Yeah, so for my budget, I did not have $10,000. My budget was $100. 100.
You can buy a third of a sleeping bag with that.
Yeah.
What kind of sleeping bag are you buying?
It's a really nice one from REI.
Yeah, sleeping bags can get pretty expensive.
Pretty expensive.
So obviously, this is not a lot of money. So I started out by just searching zombie survival kit just to see like what the baseline was that was out there. And the first result that came up was $500. So, not a good start for me. And then there was another one that was $25, but it was really just like, it was like a few energy bars, some water, and a first aid kit.
That's not going to get that far. No.
Not great. I'm not going to get that. So, I broke it down into like 4 different categories for what I need. I had food, water, armor, and weapons. So, I'm going to start out with the boring stuff. The food. So I figure for food, since I can't really stockpile like Ben is doing, I can't just buy a big tub of food. I have to rely on scavenging. And I figure that most of the food that I'm going to be eating is canned. And I'm going to want to be able to open those cans. That's important. I mean, some
whatever these, could you use?
Some cans have the self-opening top, but not all of them do.
You can't rely on that. Yeah.
Yeah. So first thing I'm going to buy is a can opener. And I was looking into different types of can openers, and I was specifically looking into like those old-fashioned like can tapper where like you basically just poke a hole in the top and then you have to like work your way around the rim. I found one of those for 22 cents.
All right, off to a good start.
The thing is, I looked up a video of how you use it. It looks way too much work. I don't want to do that. So I'm gonna splurge. I'm gonna get a normal can opener.
I like how you're too lazy to hypothetically open cans that way in your zombie survival self.
I mean, it took him like over a minute to open the can.
That's not
and
great.
And he was like almost cutting his fingers and stuff. I don't want to do that.
Maybe he was doing it wrong. Maybe you were watching a very bad video.
I did only watch one, so maybe I just picked the wrong one. So I looked for just like a normal kind of can opener. I found one for $2.79 on Target, but all the reviews are terrible. One of the reviews said, this does not open any cans. So I'm not getting that one.
That's a big ding.
Yeah, that's my favorite feature of most can openers is opening cans.
It turns out quality can openers are actually kind of expensive. So the best one I could find that was sort of cheap still was $7.95. 4.3 star rating. Good enough. So that's the one I'm going to get.
You used 8% of your budget on a can opener?
On a can opener, yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's food. It is. Like the most important part.
That's true.
Especially because, like, most food that's going to, like, preserve itself is going to be canned. Everything else is going to go bad. So I need a can opener.
Yeah. Also, you know that the first cans people go for are the ones with the tabs on top.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to fight over those.
So at some point, all that'll be left is the ones you got to open yourself.
Also, one of the reviews said that this one's pretty heavy duty. So I want it to be durable. I want it to last. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's like a backup weapon.
Oh.
Just like bash open a zombie with a can opener.
I feel like this is basically just like Chris telling us subtly that, hey guys, I got too distracted by can opener reviews to think about food anymore, so here's all I get.
I did look through a lot of different can openers. So that solves my food problem, kind of.
As much as you're going to a $100 budget, that's fair.
Yeah, I'm very limited in what I can buy.
Yeah.
So next I moved on to water. And for water, I also can't buy, like, I was in the same mindset as Ben. It's not as efficient to just carry around a bunch of water with you.
So I bought one cup, and I did a lot of research on cups, and here it is on the shelf next to the can opener.
It's a two-star cup.
A package of 40 Solo cups is $2. Yeah. I only need one of them, so.
I actually don't, how much did you say those purification pills were?
It was like $10 for 100 on Amazon.
Oh. Okay, so I guess I could have gone with one of those, but I did not. So I looked into, like, filtered, like, there's a thing called Life Straw.
Yeah.
And it's, like, basically it's, like, a straw that just has a filter in it and filters when you drink. I figure this is pretty good because it's lightweight. It only weighs 2 ounces, and it removes, like, a lot. Like, it's pretty good at filtering stuff. It doesn't rely on batteries or, like, moving parts, and it doesn't... Like, it doesn't use chemicals or anything, so it's a pretty good start.
Yeah, and they last a pretty long time, too.
Yeah, so it filters up to 4,000 liters.
Yeah.
Before it's, I guess, compromised.
So I think the reason, because I thought about them, too, the reason I did go with the filtration tabs was so I could use, because, like, with the Life Straw, you can kind of just, like, drink through it, but that's kind of it.
Right.
So it's not perfect, but on your budget.
You could just... take water with you and then just drink it with a straw. Like, you can take a bucket of water with you and then put a straw in it.
I meant more like with my like dehydrated food plan, I wanted to be able to use purified water for that, preferably.
Mm.
Yeah.
I did read a review of someone saying that he can confirm if you drink your pee, it still tastes like pee.
He really didn't have to confirm that.
Yeah.
But thanks, internet man.
So based on like, the recommended amount that you're supposed to drink is 8 ounces a day. or eight-ounce glasses per day. Based on that, one of these life straws will last 5.5 years. And I found a 3-pack for $29.99 on eBay.
You can live forever. Wait, no.
It'll last 16 years.
16 years.
And also, you know, you can find water bottles and stuff.
Yeah, I'll find water bottles and I don't have to drink 8 8-ounce glasses a day. I feel like most people don't do that right now in general, so.
Yeah, I'm lucky if I drink like 2.
Yeah, so it's not like you don't need that much to survive. So that's water. Water is covered. Now let's move on to armor. So armor, obviously, you want to protect from zombie bites. But because of my budget, I was limited to the amount of body coverage I could focus on. I can't afford a full body suit or whatever. So I had to pick a body part.
So I bought a cup and I put it on the shelf next to the straw and the can opener.
So I found an article about stats of how many people get bitten by other people. Apparently in 2012, it compared the number of bites to if it was from a dog or from other animals. So a dog was number one, and they had 339,000 bites. All the other animals were kind of grouped together at 86,000 bites. And then humans were at 41,000 bites in 2012.
Wait, what?
Wow.
Yeah. And it specified that this was bites on purpose, not accidental bites.
Mm-hmm.
So it's higher than you'd think.
Are these only damage? I guess these must be only damaging bites too, like violent ones.
Yeah, because these resulted in a visit to the ER. So that's what the stat was, an ER visit. And it also said that if you're a man, you're more likely to get bitten than if you're a woman.
Huh.
By another person. It's 52% if you're a man.
Well, that's not a big gap. That's not a big gender gap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty big.
4% difference.
Oh, I thought you said 52% more.
No, no.
Because that's a bigger difference. By a lot.
52% compared to 48%.
That makes more sense. Okay, yeah. Continue.
And then there was another study or review of stats, I guess. In 2007, they analyzed what body parts human bites were biting. And half of them were hands and fingers. A quarter of them were legs and arms. 18% of them were head or neck. And 8% of them were someone punching someone else in the mouth and accidentally hurting their fist.
Yeah, that counts as a bite?
Apparently they counted it as a bite.
That's a very relativistic definition of bite.
I know.
From the perspective of the fist, that face was coming right for it.
But half of them were hands and fingers. So I'm going to focus on my hands and fingers for protection, assuming that that's where the zombies are going to bite me. And to protect my hands, I found there's this animal handling glove that is made of bite-proof Kevlar reinforced leather padding. So it's like those gloves that you see people using when a dog is biting an attack dog is biting their arm or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for training.
So it's specifically designed for bites. And they also use it for if you're a falconer or something. So it's pretty good. I think that's pretty good. It is $19.99 on Amazon.
Not bad.
I think that's a pretty top quality item there.
Just one glove?
No, it comes with two.
Okay. All right, cool.
So, yeah, both are covered.
That's good.
And it actually has a 7.5-inch long sleeve, so it actually does cover part of my arm, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a pretty good deal there. There was a version that was 12.5. It had a 12.5-inch long sleeve, but I couldn't afford that one.
There was one that protected 5 more inches of me, but I couldn't afford it.
So that's my armor. Next is my weapon. And I did consider a machete or sharp objects for my weapon. But I figured that sharp objects get stuck in the body and it's hard to retrieve. And then the zombies will overwhelm you while you're trying to get your weapon back. I didn't want that.
Yeah, does a machete even work, guys? Really?
Machete would work. Come on. It's fine. You're overthinking it.
I also considered a crossbow or something, a bow and arrow or something like that for range. But ammo is a concern, and the arrows could break. It's just I didn't want to deal with that. So I'm going to have a handheld weapon, And it's going to be blunt. I think a blunt weapon is the best kind of weapon. And really, you just need to damage the brain. So you don't need to, like, puncture through the skin to damage the brain. You just need to hit it, and it'll damage. So I was thinking, like, what kind of blunt objects can I use? And I started looking into, like, more medieval weapons. And specifically, the Warhammer was kind of designed for blunt damage. So it was designed to damage without actually penetrating the armor. And it could transmit in the impact through, like, really thick helmets and cause concussions and stuff. So, and they're, like, varying in size. There's some that are, like, giant and some that are smaller. And I think I want something on the shorter side. I don't want it to be unwieldy. So I started looking at Warhammers, and obviously, Warhammers are expensive.
Right. Yeah, just a smidge.
Unsurprisingly.
But I did. So instead of Warhammers, I started looking into more like a modern day type of Warhammer, which is basically just like a sledgehammer. And they do have like smaller sledgehammers too, like one-handed sledgehammers. I guess they're technically still sledgehammers. I don't really know what the...
What makes a hammer sledge?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess...
Hammer sledge is a great name for D&D.
Hammer sledge is, yeah, it's a top tier name for... I don't know what... Something, but something...
Very also, good. One-handed sledgehammer is definitely a porno name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what makes it a sledgehammer and what makes it a normal hammer. But so the sledgehammer I found was an Estwing 4-pound long handle hammer. Sledgehammer. It was $36.48 on Amazon. And this specific one was, I guess, they called it a drilling hammer. So it was like designed to use with chisels and like hardened nails and stuff. And what's special about this one is that it's all forged into like as one metal piece. So it's all one continuous piece of metal through the handle. And I think that's important because this is the only weapon you're going to have for your lifetime. You want it to be durable and you want it to last for as long as possible. So the metal handle is going to not break. And the one that I got is actually 15 inches long. So you get some range. It's not like just a normal hammer. It's you can reach. So yeah, I'm going to have the hammer. I'm going to have the gloves. I'm going to have a straw. And I'm going to have a can opener.
A trusty
and
that's, can opener.
I like how you bought exactly one thing for each category of survival.
I did.
I mean, with the budget, it's kind of tricky to...
Yeah, I only had $100 to spend. I do have... $5.59 left over.
Ooh.
I didn't know what to buy with that.
What cost like $5? $5 foot long. Boom. Done.
$5.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy. Long. And then pay for parking because you stopped the subway. And that's going to be like 50 cents.
Yeah. So that's my plan. $100 plan. Marcus.
So Ben, you had 10,000. Then Chris, you had just 100.
Yeah.
So obviously that means I'm going to have
$1.
$1 million fucking dollars. So I thought that maybe going from 100 to like 10 or $1 would be a bit redundant. So I'm taking it to the absolute opposite end of the spectrum and saying, what if I had $1 million? Well, how am I going to survive this zombie apocalypse in style? And all the things that I really wanted to do, once I started really looking at them, it turns out $1 million is not as much as it used to be. I actually had to do some budgeting, which I was upset about. $1 million does not let me buy all the other things. Because the word I started with in my head, the way I envisioned it, was the word battle yacht.
Battle yacht.
Because if you're just going to be zombies all over, they don't swim. If you're just on a boat, you're good. So if you have a nice, nice boat, you're good to go. And so that's kind of where I started, where I was like, okay, so I had this nice sailboat picked out, and then I was kind of doing a thing where I was just like figuring out how to survive at sea. And they're like, wait a minute, I'm just doing like a sea survival question that has nothing to do with zombies anymore. So I kind of changed strategies where what I want is I still think you want the boat. You want a big boat to live on so that you can, if you need to, forget that there's a zombie apocalypse going on and live on your boat for a bit. But I also want you to have access to go back to land, to go back to get, you know, supplies and things you want and all that good jazz. So the boat I started with, instead of a sailboat, since now I'm going to go back to land, so now I can do, you know, fuel expeditions is probably going to be the main thing you're going to be doing because boats take up a lot of fuel. But I have chosen the 63-meter long LCT type passenger RORO passenger ferry.
They got passenger in there twice.
Yeah, I copied and pasted it, so that's not even me typoing. That's them typoing. And so this, as you might guess, is a ferry. but it's one of those car ferries. And so basically it's like a big, long, shallow rectangle. It's like almost like a bathtub. And it's got like a house, you know, a couple like building a bit on the back. And then the front just like is like a shovel that kind of just opens out and lands on the lands, you know, forward so they can drive the cars and things off of it. So you now have like a like D-Day invasion boat, basically, for when you want to go out and get supplies. So this was this boat cost $675,000. So wasn't cheap, but it is huge.
More than both of our budgets combined.
And then multiply it by like 60. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I got $325,000 left. So here's where I'm already starting to scrimp a little bit. And so what I'm going to do, so what I want is I need my, you know, quote unquote assault vehicle that I'm going to go on land and make it to, you know, the gas station or the store or the Walmart or the Subway and get another $5 foot long and steal it from someone who's using the last $5 for it. And so here's my plan. I'm starting with a school bus. So you can get the standard Type C school bus. There's actually four sizes of school buses, A, B, C, D. I didn't know that. D is like the biggest legal one allowed, and it's kind of like blocky. And I didn't like it because the front is flat, and I feel like that's kind of dangerous with zombies around, because like if you like drive into them, they might break through. So this Type C school bus is the one you imagine in your head. That's the one with the front, you know, goes back for a bit.
Typical yellow one.
Typical yellow school bus. And then the other two are short buses. So even if you're on the short bus, there's actually an even shorter bus that you can end up on. But anyways, Type C school bus, you can get one actually. The pricing I found is mostly for used ones, but I'm going to modify it. So I'm okay buying the used one even though I have money. That's only $3,000. So I have $322,000 left. So now how do we turn my school bus into a zombie killing machine? I explored a couple different options, but the one I like is just chainsaws. And so the plan is to cover the entire bus in chainsaws. So here's where I spend a lot of my math time. And it turns out the limiting factor on how many chainsaws I have on my bus is not physical space or weight, but actually how much I can power them with. So a decision I made is that I was going to use electric chainsaws instead of gas chainsaws for noise, because if you have this many chainsaws running at once, it's just going to be like absolutely untenable to be inside that bus. And right. You're probably just going to rattle yourself apart and kill yourself just through noise. Although I had a mental image of like, you know how like you pull the truck horn, only that truck horn is like pulling the
just every
the
single like, of, like
all, the, yeah. all the chainsaws at once. So chainsaws, obviously they use a lot of power. So the biggest generators I can fit on my bus are 130 kilowatt generators. And these are like big boxes. They're like 10 feet long. So I can probably only fit two of these guys on my bus. So these big generators cost about $28,000 a pop. I'm going to stick two of them back there. So I have 260,000 kilowatts of power to work with. Each chainsaw uses 1,600 watts. So, and I wrote this this way because it was lower than my first number. I could only power 163 chainsaws. So what kind of coverage does that get me? A typical school bus is 11 foot high, 8 foot wide, and 35 foot long. So that gives us about 984 square feet of bus that we got to protect on the outside. Each of these chainsaws has the ones that I found, the Makita electric chainsaw on Amazon for $230 a pop. They have a 16 inch long blade. So conveniently, if you spin the chainsaw in a circle, it covers an area of about 5.6 square feet, which is almost exactly the same as the 5.8 square feet that each, you know, to get to the exact square area. So if you just spin, you know, you already got a lot of power going. So if you just spin the chainsaws in a circle all around the bus in a, I don't know, a circle pattern, like you gotta just put a pin on them and just have them spin in a circle. And so you can cover the whole bus with these 163 chainsaws. So $230 a pop, 163 of them. $37,490 total. Now we have $227,902 left. And basically what we have to go on expeditions is a bus that is entirely covered in running chainsaws that are spinning all around. So really, I don't think you have any problems with zombies because you just literally mutilate them as you drive past.
Mission accomplished.
But there's still some basic stuff I got to worry about. So power for the boat. I figured it would be nice to have to not use fuel for everything on the boat, so I don't have to go for trips as often. So I was looking at solar panels. It costs about $20,000 to install solar panels to power a 2,500 square foot home. Based on the rough dimensions of the boat, I didn't have great plans. I think it's about double that square footage, so I'm putting $40,000 aside for solar panels, leaving me with about $187,000. Then I do need to actually fuel the boat, at least initially. And so I was a bit worried about the boat fuel cost, because the tank of the boat can carry 15 tons of fuel. And so I was like, shiz. Turns out boat fuel is $320 a ton, which, yes, is very expensive. And it costs, if you go to the gas station after this boat uses up its fuel, it costs you $4,700 to do it. But given how the scale of my budget, I decided I was going to do that, plus have two kind of backup fuel things on board. So bring on another like 30 tons of fuel just for, so I can fill up three times if I need to. That's another $14,064. I got $173,838 left. One of the last things here I got here. So I do want to live a little bit in style. Like, I want to have some nice things, because I don't want to just blow my whole budget and then I'm living like you two idiots.
You want to be the uncool scooter riding guy.
Hey, you could buy so many scooters with what you have left.
I could mutilate so many people on scooters with my bus. So many. So what I splurged on here, and I think it's going to separate me from the rest of you people, is going to be freshly grown food. So have you guys ever seen those container farms, these vertical, like vertical farming containers?
Actually, I talked about them only three episodes ago, maybe?
Wasn't that recently?
It was very recent.
Hold on. The Underwater City one, which was...
Two episodes ago?
It was two episodes ago.
Two episodes ago.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, you definitely heard of them. they must have come back from my subconscious. But yep. I did find one. It costs $110,000, which is still pretty pricey. But it can grow up to 13,000 plants at once. And I was like, wow, I'm not sure if that's a lot of food or not. And then I'm like, wait a minute, that's definitely more plants than I eat in a year. Like, I'm just thinking how many plants I eat per day, and it's not...
One plant.
Yeah, I'd have to eat like hundreds of plants a day, which is not what's happening. So I got more than enough. I got more than enough plants, guys. I might even share them with you if I'm feeling generous.
You're going to start a plant truck, like an ice cream truck, but with plants?
Yeah.
Also with chainsaws.
Oh yeah, with chainsaws too. I forgot about the chainsaws.
Well, that's like the ice cream music. Instead of ice cream music, I just rev up like 163 chainsaws. So now I got $63,000 left. I was gonna put this all in miscellaneous, but I did think of one thing, one slight flaw in my bus plan, and that's like having to get out of the bus. So what I decided is that I'm not going to get out of my bus, but instead in my bus, I'm going to install a industrial crane arm. So I found it was tough to find pricing on them because, you know, they're like usually custom built for factories and things, but I did find a robotic arm that's like the big factory size for $30,000 that I could install in the center of my bus, pop a little roof hatch, and then it would kind of just go out, pick up what it needs, take it in, put it in the bus. Store it in the bus, and then we can head back home, back to the boat, which I didn't name the boat, guys. What should I name my boat?
Before we do that bit, I was going to say I was really hoping you were going to buy one of those, like the full body suits they use for dog training.
Oh, just to one-up me?
I bought the 12-inch sleeves also, guys.
I mean, you could buy everything that we couldn't buy with the money you have left over.
I do have $33,830. $33,838 left, which, yes, you're gonna be able to buy your weapons, gloves. Your starting provisions. Yes, the 12-inch gloves.
Dog suit.
Probably will blow half that budget. Yeah, I'm going to wear a dog costume also on top of my dog protection suit just yep. to confuse them, just to psych them out. You know, starting furniture, you're going to want to have some nice stuff around. That's the one thing I did miss from looking at the different boats. I spent a lot of time looking at yachts was my thing that I wasted all my time on.
Not can openers?
Not can openers. No, it was yachts that were, you know, between 800 and like 30 million bucks that I could look up at this website.
I mostly looked at scooters.
But yeah, that's what I got. I think I blew through my budget pretty efficiently.
Yeah.
I can imagine you could do a much better survival strategy for a million bucks, but not one nearly as fun.
How much did you say you had left over?
$33,000.
That's not bad.
You know, I could buy a bunch of life straws with that and live forever.
Because
if each of them lasts 5.5 years and I can buy like 30,000 of them, I could live for like A million years, guys.
That's the one key to life. Life's draws.
Life's draw is the key to everlasting youth. All fountains are now the fountain of youth.
All right. I have a very, very spooky would you rather for us this
week.
Spooky. Would you rather have to sleep in a coffin or have to live in a giant pumpkin?
The pumpkin's going to rot.
The pumpkin is going to rot
and very nastily. And that's going to collapse on
Unless
you.
Are there ways to preserve the pumpkin so it doesn't rot? There probably is.
Can you pickle a giant pumpkin? That's going to smell really bad.
Yeah. I mean, if you could like somehow dry it out, then
it won't rot. That could work.
I don't know how you're going to dry out a giant pumpkin.
I don't either.
I'm looking at method one of preserving a pumpkin.
What is method one? Are there more methods?
I don't know. There's three. It says three ways to preserve a pumpkin. I haven't clicked the link yet. So step one is soak the pumpkin in a bleach solution.
Okay.
Wipe it dry. Spray with additional bleach. Okay. Number three.
More bleach.
Continue drying the pumpkin upside down. Number five, coat the cut area. Oh, this is for a carved pumpkin, but coat the cut areas with petroleum jelly. Wipe away the excess. Keep the pumpkin cool and moist.
You're trying to dry it out.
Let's just preserve
after you're done bleaching it.
Oh.
It says display your pumpkin in a spot that does not receive direct sunlight.
That's tricky for a home.
Yeah.
I think the bigger problem is sleeping in a coffin all that bad? Disgust.
No, not really.
There's some nice coffins.
I mean, it's basically a bed.
Right?
Right? I mean, are you allowed to put a mattress in it?
So I guess the better question, do you need to put a mattress in it?
I would think so. It's hard on the bottom, right?
No, they're cushiony.
They're cushiony ones.
Yeah. Oh. Why is it cushiony?
It's big coffin just trying to get the money out of you.
I'll be honest. I see sometimes when I see coffins, like especially like when they're advertising for them, they look comfy as fuck.
They really do. Like, it's kind of disturbing, actually.
Yeah, like, can I try this out, please?
If you had a coffin bed, would you close it when you sleep or not?
I think you have to.
You have to, but would you if you didn't have to?
Would you survive if you close it?
Are they airtight?
I doubt they're airtight. I think they're not airtight.
I mean, I guess we have to say, for the would you rather to have any meaning, that you don't immediately die if you close it.
Right, that's a pretty clean answer otherwise. Let's say they're not airtight. I think I would close it. See, I sleep with a sleep mask half the time anyway. So that's like the same thing, but it's not touching your face.
Yeah, but how much space do you have if it's closed? I imagine you don't have that much space. You can't like roll around.
Probably not, no. I'm a back sleeper, so it's not that bad. Like, I could do it.
I'm jealous. I'm a stomach sleeper, and according to the internet, that's the worst kind of sleeper to be.
Oh, God, my back feels so much better once I started not sleeping on my face all the time.
Did you, like, do it on purpose, Ben?
Yeah. I just, like slept badly for, like, 3 months before I adjusted, and now I love it.
Well, maybe that's the takeaway for this episode. Not the one that it was before, but sleep on your back, everybody.
Yeah, it's really nice. You should do it.
And the coffin will help.
Yeah, I feel like we're all picking coffin, right? Sleep in a coffin?
Yeah, probably.
It was fun to talk about, but there's, like, we haven't addressed half the giant pumpkin problems.
Right.
Like, even socially, too, like, oh, it's like, you're weird, you sleep in a costume. In a coffin, but it's like, also, you live in a giant pumpkin? What the fuck?
Right. It's a lot easier to hide the fact that you sleep in a coffin than that you live in a giant pumpkin. How do you... You can't get plumbing there. You can't get electricity.
But if anyone finds out that you live in a coffin, they're going to think you're a vampire. If they're going to know that you live in a pumpkin, but they're not going to think you're, like, a monster or anything. They're just going to think you're the weird guy. Or you can, like, turn it into an attraction or something.
Oh, I guess here's where it is. Would you rather sleep in a coffin or sleep in a house that looks like a pumpkin?
Okay.
That does
okay.
make it closer.
That does make it closer. I think it's still actually...
Man, I just want to try sleeping in a coffin now. So, I mean, this is one of those would you rathers where it's just like, it's supposed to be two negatives, but like I'm now debating between my regular life and the coffin one.
Do I want to go and buy a coffin right now?
It's an investment.
This is like the hairless would you rather. I'm like, you know, that kind of might be convenient and cool.
It's actually pretty appealing.
How much do coffins cost?
They're expensive
compared to a bed.
It's a good question, actually.
Well, I mean, you can splurge a little bit because it's the last bed you'll ever need.
What? Generally speaking, the average cost of a coffin would be between $1,000 and $4,000. However, some coffins or caskets maybe more than $15,000.
They are expensive. I mean, look at beds. All right. These are expensive.
Let's go to coffins on Amazon.com. Man, these are all just like...
You can buy coffins on Amazon?
No, they're all just Halloween decorations or pet coffins. Oh, that's sad.
All right, guys, we're off the rails.
Yes, yeah. There's also the album The Fleshland by Coffins.
Ben's still off the rails. I choose Coffin. Yeah, there we go. Bunch of freaking vampires we are.
Blah. That was my vampire noise.
I still have to ask the people to send us questions, but I really just wanted an episode on that vampire noise.
Blah.
Instead.
Blah. Happy Halloween.
Send your questions to absurdhypotheticals@gmail.com. Blah.
Blah. Wait, that was sheep shit.
And join us next week when we answer the following question. Lots of questions. It's a lightning round.